Are you tired of big government treading on your liberty? Well, so are we. We're Brave New Books, the fiercest independent bookstore in Austin. Located a block south of UT Austin, Brave New Books not only carries the information you need to be ahead of the curve, but we also have water filters, storable food, and superfoods that help you put your health back into your own hands. Contact us at 480-2503, at bravenewbookstore.com, or stop by at 1904 Guadalupe Street.
More energy, stronger immune power, improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein and greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Welcome to yet another exciting installment of Live Free Austin. LiveFreeAustinRadio.com is the website where you can find all the wonderful podcasts from shows past. And we're joined by Jason Rink, John Bush here every Saturday on 98.9 Big Talker. And again, check out the podcast on LiveFreeAustinRadio.com. We got a lot of great news to cover. We got a wonderful interview coming your way with Tad Lumpkin. He created a film called The American Dream. It's a wonderful 30-minute YouTube video cartoon exposing the Federal Reserve, monopoly money, the Rothschild banking system, and the like. We got some local and state news to cover for you today. Also, some too much government news coming. We haven't had in the past couple shows, but we'll be bringing you some too much government news.
Yeah. There yes. Love it. Yeah. Always too much government news. We can always find examples of too much government news.
It's not hard, folks.
And so here we are. We want to talk about some things that have gone down this week. Actually, everybody's been talking about it on talk radio this week. I can't get away from this story. Mm-hmm. The tragic shooting that happened out in Arizona on this past Saturday. And this has been a very interesting story in that, it's horrible. You know, a 9-year-old child was killed. I mean, I think 6 people were killed.
It's pretty unprecedented for
critically injured. I mean, this was just a really terrible thing. And yet what we've kind of seen happening in the media is, I don't know that I've seen an issue that has been as instantly politicized this one. Yeah. Well, it has been crazy. I was mm-hmm. looking on the news and websites the day that this happened, and it was literally the middle of the afternoon, and the Huffington Post started
just right
in
there.
on the whole thing of really calling for Sarah Palin's head at that point.
Poor Sarah.
I know. And
I think that, you know, a lot of times
we talk about Sarah a lot on this show and say, you know, we're not the hugest fans of Sarah Palin, but really she's being thrown slammed under the bus right now.
She's getting slammed.
And the Tea Party's being dragged through mm-hmm. it. You know, the Tea Party rhetoric and Sarah Palin's infamous target map.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, the real question is what is this? What do we need to really be talking about in the midst of this issue?
Sure.
What do we really need to be focusing on? And that's what the thing is. And John, you probably called it as soon as this happened. You knew what was going to be starting to be said in the media.
Yeah. And, you know, something to point out on a lot of these different tragedies, there's always more than just the victims, the obvious victims, Congresswoman Gifford, the 9-year-old child and the others that were killed. But far too often we see the same program. It's, you know, it's rather predictive. I said before, this is an unprecedented event to have a attempted assassination, if you want to call it that, of a congresswoman. But it's not unprecedented to have the media react in the manner that it did to these tragedies that happened. And of course, there's more victims than just those that were shot at or those that experienced the tragedy or the family. The other victims are going to inevitably be Americans' freedoms, because they don't stop and take a step back and really examine what the real problem is, which I believe it to be psychotropic drugs. That's not getting mentioned on the media. This guy was on serotonin reuptake inhibitors. He had warning signs at his colleges and whatnot. And unfortunately, we're not going to see anybody discussing that. They're not going to be discussing the family life back at home, what the parents could have done to be aware of this or to have prevented this. They're only going to be discussing how we can rape the First and Second Amendment in order to try to make this not happen before. This guy, Representative Brad Sherman, the next day came out and said whether political rhetoric caused what happened in Tucson or not, it'll cause the next tragedy. Already coming out and claiming it, that it's the rhetoric, it's the First Amendment that we need to be worried about. It's,
well,
not,
John,
the case.
You mentioned a good point. You know, most people don't realize that you are going to be hard pressed to find a mass shooting in America that wasn't done by somebody on psychotropic drugs, prescribed psychotropic drugs, and in some cases they had recently gone off. Sometimes they're still on them, but this never comes under deep scrutiny. Mm-mm. And we need to really start looking into this, people. And in this situation right now, where you've got a rep who's already saying, hey, political rhetoric is what's going to cause the next tragedy.
Yep.
I mean, this is really insane. And we can see this process by which, you know, you never want a crisis to go to waste, right? That's being thrown out there all the time. Rahm Emanuel said that.
Yep.
But we're seeing that right now. They don't want to waste this crisis to be able to push through some more legislation, some more solutions to clamp down on the freedoms of the First and Second Amendment.
Yep. This guy, Robert Brady, has already reportedly planned to introduce legislation that would make it a federal crime to use language or symbols that could be perceived as threatening or inciting violence against a federal official or member of Congress. There's this great article from the Activist Post. Pretty radical rag there. It's this dude, Milo Nichols, contributing writer from the Activist Post, activistpost.com. And he just mentions again, as I said before, that they're going to come out swinging against the First and Second Amendment. And some of the points that he makes, he says, here are several examples of fairly benign sentences that could be perceived as threatening or inciting violence against a federal official. And of course, one is the Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. And that's American tradition. You know, we fought a Revolutionary War. Unfortunately, it did get bloody and violent. But now we're going to see that labeled as potential violent rhetoric. I'm thinking of the Don't Tread on Me flag. You know, that has some don't mess with me or you're going to get these fangs in your neck. Here's one from Ronald Reagan. Concerted power has always been the enemy of liberty. Barack Obama even said, if they bring a knife to a fight, we bring a gun. So, I mean, this stuff is benign, and it's part of the political debate, and we're going to see it, again, be crushed, and a lot of it is dissent, and we see the same thing, and it's not just the liberals' fault, because the conservatives do the exact same thing when the script is flipped, and people just need to take a deep breath and take a step back and be sure that we don't give up our freedoms. The father of the 9-year-old, right, he came out on Fox News and said, don't use this tragedy to expand government and to further control us, because we see it far too often. In fact, every single time, it seems.
Well, and the call for gun control, that's obviously going to happen. Always happens. The interesting thing is the only way this guy got taken down was he was tackled by two people who were unarmed. Now, think about this. You got two citizens. There's a guy opening fire on a crowd. How much bravery does it take to actually do that?
I think one of them was a woman, the first lady that
really
came and attacked him.
Yeah. So this is nuts. Well, think about this. What if maybe there was law-abiding citizens were encouraged to carry guns? Now, John Lott has talked about this in More Guns, Less Crime. We've referred to this all the time. But this idea that only government officials should have guns, well, where were the government officials in this event? Well, they can't be everywhere. I don't want them to be everywhere. That's called a police state. What I want is a citizenry that understands their Second Amendment right, that's trained to use firearms, and that I know has my back if somebody's starting to open fire in a crowd that I'm standing in.
That's right.
I trust my American citizens, my American brothers who want this to be a free and prosperous society. So there's really a lot of craziness going on. We do want to talk about something that Sarah Palin said in response to this, which I believe really reveals some of the hypocrisy on the right whenever it comes to this whole blame game, because the right and the left both do it when it serves their purposes.
Yep.
So we're going to continue talking about this issue, the shooting in Phoenix, and talk about big government news after the break. We also have Tad Lumpkin, who is a filmmaker. The website's theamericandreamfilm.com, a great film that's out there right now. We're going to be talking to him about the Federal Reserve and the banking system, the housing bubble, all those great things. So stick around. This is Live Free Austin.
The Sean Reimer Show.
I went and picked up the Facebook movie, A Social Network, and, you know, it was really good. The dude sat up one night drinking beer, and he basically wrote the initial program for what would become Facebook. I want to hit up Zuckerberg and say, dude, the movie's great. Just float me $100,000. I make that kid more money. I'm on Facebook right now. And it's creepy. Watch it. I think I'll make Mark Zuckerberg some money. Profile. I just made him another $1 billion.
Rise with Reimer. Weekday morning, 6 to 9. Only on the new 98.9 The Big Talker.
Attention, Big Talker listeners. Want to get the real information on the agenda behind the Obama administration's policies? Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, has the resources you need to understand the Federal Reserve, international banking, and the forces behind President Obama. Brave New Books is located a block south of UT at 1904 Guadalupe Street. Contact us at 480-2503 or at bravenewbookstore.com.
More energy, stronger immune power, improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein in greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement has everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Welcome back to Live Free Austin. LiveFreeAustinRadio.com is the website. Again, check out the exciting podcast of shows past. Jason and I are rocking and rolling today on the program, talking about the Arizona shooting conference, hoping that we don't see freedom further restricted. We need to deal with the real problem, folks, and we're going to get back to chatting with that. We also got too much government news coming up at the end of this segment, but I wanted to invite you out to an event that's going to be taking place at Brave New Bookstore, bravenewbookstore.com. It's located on 1904 Guadalupe Street here in the city of Austin, right down there at the heart of campus. They are one of our sponsors that make this wonderful program possible. So we want to invite you out to come check out Marjorie Wildcraft. We had her on the program last week as she does the Backyard Food Production Systems DVD. It's Backyard Food Production. BackyardFoodProduction.com. And she's going to be here at Brave New Bookstore Saturday, January 15th, later today at 7 o'clock from 7 to 9 p.m. Again, that's Saturday, January 15th at 7 p.m. And the title of the lecture is going to be What to Do When Your Grocery Bill Doubles in 2011. We're going to be chatting with Tad here coming up about inflation, about the Federal Reserve. They're stealing our value. It's painfully hopefully obvious now, folks. One of the big things on the show, of course, Foundation for Free Society is one of our sponsors, myfreesociety.com, and we're encouraging people to get liberated, to become self-sufficient, to grow their own food, to not be dependent on big corporations or the government in order to live a free and prosperous life. And if you come out to this class, again, Saturday, January 15th from 7 to 9 p.m., you'll be able to get the tools and information necessary in order to help live a more sustainable and self-sufficient life. Again, so that's Saturday, January 15th at 7 p.m. Marjorie Wildcraft, the producer of Backyard Food Production Systems, will be there, and she's going to be giving you some tips on how to start your own backyard food production system, and they'll be selling the DVDs there for a discounted price as well. So definitely check that out, folks.
Right on. Well, you know, back to the topic at hand, the shooting in Phoenix. You know, Howard Kurtz came out. He's a writer online. He was one of the first people that came out that I saw that he said, you know, hey, military metaphors have been used in politics forever. I mean, this is not new. Palin wasn't the first person to come out with some military metaphors about a political race. And, you know, we can all agree in hindsight, maybe, that, you know, okay, poor choice of imagery possibly, but we wouldn't even be talking about it if this didn't happen.
Sure. They were targeting those districts. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. But the point is that, you know, Sarah Palin and the Tea Party and Rush Limbaugh and all these people on the right have kind of come under fire now because of the inflammatory rhetoric. I want to make a couple of quotes here. The first one's from Limbaugh. He just said this just the other day. We are constantly admonished not to rush to conclusions. Now reporters are bending over backwards to link this shooting to me, to Sarah Palin, to an entire industry, talk radio. Sarah Palin goes on and she says, President Reagan said we must reject the idea that every time a law is broken, society is guilty rather than the lawbreaker. It's time to restore the American precept that each individual is accountable for his actions. Acts of monstrous criminality stand on their own. They begin and end with the criminals who commit them, not collectively with all the citizens of the state.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
And you know, that is good. It's true. But what's interesting is the people on the right don't like to apply that when it comes to, say, Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
What they like to do is they like to point to a monstrous act of criminality and justify a reason to profile, for example, an entire class of people.
All of them. They
everyone,
all hate us
if they
we're
got
free.
A turban, we're going to pat them down and we're going to pull them over. Or even in the immigrant debate, you know, anybody who remotely looks Mexican, yeah, just pull them over on the border. That's right. So, you know, this idea that, you know, oh, poor Palin and poor Limbaugh. Well, you know what? Maybe you need to talk to some of the Muslims that are in your neighborhood and ask them how they deal with the fact that they are always being accused, whether internally or externally, of being a threat to America.
Yeah. And another point very similar to that note is the value that we place on people's lives. And, you know, this may come off as distasteful, but and all of our condolences go out to Congresswoman Gifford. We hope that she has a wonderful, speedy recovery, and condolences to her family and everybody that was there. But when it comes to valuing lives, who's to say her life is more valuable than the innocent civilians and children that are being murdered and slaughtered daily in Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, soon to be potentially Iran? We have these same Congress people, these Congress critters that are voting for money, that are giving money to other governments that are engaged in war, and civilians are being murdered all the time. And that doesn't seem to be mentioned at all in the media anymore. And now all of a sudden it's this big tragedy and travesty because this one unfortunate situation happened. We got this stuff happening daily, ladies and gentlemen. Just because it's not happening in your backyard doesn't mean you shouldn't be concerned with
it. You know, the rhetoric of the Tea Party is not responsible for this tragedy either. And there's, you know, no connection to this guy with the Tea Party, really. I mean, they're trying to connect him to all these different things. But we need to remember something, that the freedom to speak our minds and hold anti-government opinions is the foundation of a free society here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this nation was established by people with anti-government ideas. It was built upon anti-government documents like Thomas Paine's Common Sense and the Declaration of Independence, for crying out loud.
Yep.
Exactly. So to use this guy who, you know, committed this crime because he was unstable and he had anti-government ideas and he owned a gun, which he legally owned, by the way, which he bought probably with the idea that he was going to use it in an illegal fashion. He bought it less than a month beforehand. You know, to think that creates a scenario where we should say, okay, you can't hold an anti-government opinion and you can't own a firearm, that doesn't make any
sense. Certainly can't do both.
Right, exactly. And the idea that keeping people from legally owning firearms is going to keep somebody from killing somebody doesn't make any sense.
No.
I mean, if you're going to kill somebody, you're not worried about the penalty of having an illegal firearm.
That's right.
All you're doing is you're trying to find a way to commit a crime. And so we've got to penalize the crime. Mm-hmm. We got to make sure and find out what's really going on behind the scenes. But this is really pretty weak trying to connect any kind of Tea Party movement or whatever to what this guy's doing.
Yep, yep. Well, a lot of great points, and we'll see how it continues to play out. And now on another note, we got some too much government news real quick. Jason's got something in his hand here, folks.
Just as we go into the break, too much government news. I got this thing on my windshield today in Austin. I thought it was a parking ticket, but it was actually a warning.
Oh.
And we got these automated parking meters.
They're supposed to be green, but they had to build a whole boatload of them to bring them out.
So they're automated. You feed them money. You're supposed to put a sticker on the curbside of your windshield. Well, I put it on the curbside passenger window.
How dare you?
So I got a warning that says, pay station receipt incorrectly displayed. Receipt should be on the curbside of windshield per city ordinance. Look, I tried to comply, people, and I couldn't even comply. These governmental hoops are too big to jump through. So, well, stick around with us. This is Live Free Austin. We've got Tad Lumpkin with the AmericanDreamFilm.com. Check that out as we talk about the Federal Reserve, the money and banking system in America, and what we can do to strike back against that. This is Jason Rink and John Bush, and we'll be right back.
Is that you?
Did it. There's not much time.
How did this happen?
I'm here to show you how.
The bank only has so much money in the vault to lend out to people such as you. By the time he got to you, his bank was out of money.
But if they don't have any money, then where did my money come from?
The Fed is a private bank owned by private stockholders.
A private bank?
Do not let the name Federal fool you.
If I got this money from the bank, and the bank got it from the Federal Reserve dump trucks, where does the Federal Reserve get their money?
They take our property away, just like Thomas Jefferson said they would.
Those sons of bitches!
It's the greatest theft in human history.
Are you tired of big government treading on your liberty? Well, so are we. We're Brave New Books, the fiercest independent bookstore in Austin. Located a block south of UT Austin, Brave New Books not only carries the information you need to be ahead of the curve, but we also have water filters, storable food, and superfoods that help you put your health back into your own hands. Contact us at 480-2503, at bravenewbookstore.com, or stop by at 1904 Guadalupe Street.
More energy, stronger immune power, improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein and greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Welcome back. This is Live Free Austin, livefreeaustinradio.com. It's Jason Rink and John Bush with you every Saturday here on 98.9 FM. And today we have filmmaker Tad Lumpkin out of Los Angeles. He's put this great movie out that you can catch online right now called The American Dream. You can check out the website at theamericandreamfilm.com. They've managed to get 38,000 views in 6 days on just part one of this video. And I think that's just, you know, that's twice as many views as when I saw it just a couple days ago. And so we want to talk about this movie, the content of this movie, kind of what went into to making this project. So, Tad, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You know what? I love that you start this movie off. You know, one of the first things that happens is the guy wakes up in bed, and you kind of have a George Carlin reference there that I caught anyway, where George Carlin used to always say, they call it the American dream because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Well, you know what? What's funny is that we didn't intentionally, I've heard that before, that jogged my memory after the fact of writing it. But yeah, I mean, to have him, we wanted the whole opening scene to be extraordinarily, you know, like the guys in Candyland. That's why the colors are so bright and pastoral and everything looks perfect. But it is kind of like, you know, America. It's like you gotta, you know, you wake up when you live in a fantasy. So we're kind of trying to really put the line between, hey, what is fantasy and what's reality, and you know, how do we make the reality a great place to live, not just the dreamland?
Well, yeah, and you know, so we you know, checking out the trailer and then the full length video online. I mean, it's just a great visual encapsulation sort of really a huge portion of history. You guys cover a lot of information about the Federal Reserve, about debt, banking. You get into a lot of different issues. But what was really the thing that led you guys to create this movie and get this message out now?
Well, I think, you know, there was a long run-up in just kind of, you know, I don't know, seeing the failings of the system throughout, you know, for me, it was really the failings of the system throughout the Bush years, and not just specifically with Bush, but I'd given up kind of on the liberal sort of, you know, control system, super state idea long before that. And it was just really the Republicans. I mean, you know, they had control of the whole government, and they all run and tell you that they're going to do this small government, free market, civil liberties idea, but they don't do it. And I realized, you know, it's all the same thing. And I also saw, because, you know, business and economics is something I'm personally really into, I just saw the same idiocy occur where, you know, nobody was willing to do the right thing. They were all bought into this Keynesian economics fantasy where, you know, oh, the stock market crashed, well, let's just pump it up with more cheap money and double down and spend, and devalue the dollar, and then we'll just pump the housing market up. Oh, wait, that crashed. Oh, well, let's go do it again. And, you know, the thing is every fiat currency in the history of the world has ended, and ours will end too. I mean, it's not really how you feel about it. It just ends up being math because it just keeps expanding until the markets lose confidence in it, and it eventually implodes.
Mm-hmm.
So we felt like the basis for economics, any modern-day economics, is the currency with which you conduct trade. If you don't have money that works, you don't really have anything, because unless you're going to go to a barter system, which has a huge amount of problems, had a huge amount of problems, would have even extraordinarily more in a modern-day economy where people want more things faster from in an international marketplace, you've got to have sound money. So we said, you know what, we're going to attack this economics question from the foundation, which is it's all built on your money. And if you got bad money, I don't care what else you do, I don't care how great Apple's next invention is, it's all you're going to suffer huge consequences,
yeah, absolutely,
because you're corrupted at the base, you know.
That's right.
And you can go build a palace on top of sand, and what's going to happen to your palace? It's going to end up, you know, crushed and in pieces because you didn't lay concrete, mm-hmm. you built it on sand. So, you know, it's like they can run around and talk about putting in, you know, high-end appliances into the kitchen, but until somebody's willing to pour concrete down, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
So that's why we attacked the Federal Reserve first. We also thought a lot of people don't know anything about it. They all know what it is, mm-hmm. you know, and the most they maybe know about it is, you know, when they lower the rate, it lowers my mortgage payment. You know, other than that, I don't think anybody really knows how it works or how it operates.
Sure.
So, you know, we tried to make it simple and fun and tell people, hey, if we don't get this right, nothing else is going to be right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we got to attack. We got to start first. So we kind of started at the beginning, and that's why we decided this topic.
Yeah,
in particular.
And of course, the Federal Reserve is one of the biggest culprits robbing our wealth, assisting in the illegal wars of aggression across the world and throughout the history. So yeah, let's chat a little bit about the Federal Reserve. Of course, one of the biggest misconceptions about the Fed is that it's publicly owned and it's a branch of the federal government and it works to benefit the people. Can you kind of give your little elevator speech on the Federal Reserve and its nature being private?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way I explain this, it kind of goes between, you know, it seems like you got the defenders on one side who scoff at that, and then you have, you know, you get real conspiratorial on the other. I mean, it's basically, it works like this. The banking cartel, okay, where all the banks have, especially the mega banks, which is the reason why you've seen a definite incentive for the constant consolidation and growing of banks and blurring mm-hmm. of what financial institutions even are. I mean, it used to be, you know, well, banks you store your money in, investing institutions you invest and risk your money in. Well, now it's like insurers and this and that. It's all one giant thing.
Yeah.
They all work together to make this, to expand the financial industry. Government needs their help to expand their role with which would, in what would otherwise not be possible, because most politicians, unfortunately, want to expand their reach, expand their power, expand everything. So you've got this, you've got a government that, you know, and you look who put it in Woodrow Wilson, who had this expansive growth of government, internationalistic, globalistic a concept of how the world should work. I mean,
yeah.
he was a massive progressive in his mentality. So he teams up and says, well, we've got a mutual benefit. I need your guys' ability to indefinitely expand the balance sheet by having fiat money and huge amounts of global leverage, and I need that so that I can get my agenda done. And that's what happens. So they collude.
Mm-hmm.
The Federal Reserve is the perfect collusion between the progressive uninhibited expansion of the role of government on a global level and the desire of the banking cartels to expand their role and wealth and influence in a worldwide marketplace. So I think that it's kind of like what you're seeing there is it's like, well, yeah, on one hand, you know, yeah, Ben Bernanke gets and the Board of Governors, you know, sit there and they get put in by, you know, nominated by the president and confirmed. So there's a pseudo-public element. But then on the other hand, there's all this influence from the whole rest of the system that's all from the private banking cartels. And by the way, that's where most all these guys come from. I mean, it's like Hank Paulson, private banking cartel. I mean, it's basically academics and former executives working together to try to piecemeal this system together where they can both win. And if you look at it, what's happened? The banking industry has grown in leaps and bounds
yeah.
in their profit margin and their size and their influence and their global reach, and the government has grown in its size, reach, and their power. And that's the conspiracy, that's the collusion, that's the agenda. It's
mm-hmm.
obvious. It's not, there's not some massive secret, you know, thing. It's just like, guys, just ask the question, like, does this not bother you? Like, you have to undo that whole system, which is the reason why you need honest money, redemption oriented money. You hold the gold coin, you can give me the note, I can send people in to make sure the gold's there. If I come back and want my gold, I can come get it back with my note, and it's just easier to use the paper and electronics than it is to carry around a sack full of gold. It should be the only reason that you're not actually using you know, the specific commodity that backs up your paper. But doing it any other way is just, you're going to get a corrupt system. Well, they want guns and butter, man.
Well, yeah, and you go into some great, and you know, you cover some complex topics in a short amount of space in this movie. Now, we're going to go into a break here, but when we come back, you guys on the website shows the different missions you have. And, you know, some of these missions, you know, limited government and fair taxation. Well, heck, the Republicans are always talking about that. But the thing is you can't have any of those things when you have this monetary system that's just constantly there to expand the power of government. I mean, so attacking these traditional, you know, areas of, hey, let's limit the government and let's lower taxes, that's really just a big dog and pony show when you're not talking about sound money in the Federal Reserve. So on the other side of this break, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of these key missions and what we can do as people to help educate other citizens about this and help bring these issues to the forefront of the political discussion. This is Jason Rink and John Bush. This is Live Free Austin, and we'll be right back.
Attention, Big Talker listeners. Want to get the real information on the agenda behind the Obama administration's policies? Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, has the resources you need to understand the Federal Reserve, international banking, and the forces behind President Obama. Brave New Books is located a block south of UT at 1904 Guadalupe Street. Contact us at 480-2503 or at bravenewbookstore.com.
Welcome back to Live Free Austin every Saturday afternoon on 98.9 The Big Talker. You can also check out livefreeaustinradio.com. We're doing a good job of getting the podcasts up by Monday. So they air on Saturday. You can check them out, the podcast, on Monday. The downloads are really starting to pick up steam. The last show, we interviewed Majori Wildcraft with the Backyard Food Production Systems. And as we mentioned before, they will be at Brave New Bookstore coming up for a little lecture. And then the show before that, me and Catherine Bleich, she was riding shotgun. Rink was out of town. That was a really phenomenal show. We got real deep into the police state. And, of course, today we are joined yet again, another wonderful interview with Tad Lumpkin. He's a filmmaker, the American Dream. DreamFilm.com. It's a 30-minute cartoon, really informative. It's fun. It's funny. You can show it to children. You can actually show it to people that are starting to get involved and starting to become aware. It might just blow their mind a little bit, but it's in a really consumable fashion. So definitely check that out, the AmericanDreamFilm.com. You can also check out the DVDs. You can get them for $5.99 prepackaged and give them out to your friends and get them a little to expand their mind and enlighten themselves. We're chatting with Tad, and on the last section, we were chatting about some of the problems, the Federal Reserve Bank, who it's really serving. It's a partnership between the politicians and the bankers to further their own interests at the detriment of ours. So maybe on the flip side, as Rink was saying, we could talk about some of the solutions. What are some of the recommendations that you would give the listeners or you would give people watching this video on what they can do to combat this terrible monopoly money problem that we have going?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the thing is that at first, people need to, they don't need to understand vast economic theory to understand basically that all these branches of big government, war, the entitlement state, all this control, all this needless bureaucracy, they're all branches that on a tree that can only exist with the Federal Reserve. I mean, the reason that they laugh at gold, that they laugh at silver, that they laugh at any of this other stuff and call it old and stupid, is because it's the greatest limiter of government. There's a physical limitation to the expansion of government. That's why they hate it. Mm-hmm. So I think that the solution is people need to first, when, you know, realize that this is an issue, and they need to mandate from the people that they're putting in office that they want to actually make their jobs less important. Not all these complex solutions, I'm going to do this and I'm going to fix that and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. It's like, no, just shut it down. You know, if you listen to Ron Paul, what's he talk about? He doesn't have some massively long, complicated reform package with some great words like, you know, the American Dream and Revitalization Act, right? No. He's like, I want to end the entire IRS, and we should just tax from user fees and, you know, consumption. Okay. All right. You know, well, what do you want to do with the Department of Education? I want to close it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no magic bullet. Government is not going to fix government. You've just got to shut it down and put those responsibilities back into the people's hands.
You know, you make a great point there, and I get into debates with people, and there's one guy in particular that I talk about this with a lot. He's a conservative, and he says the Federal Reserve is not this important issue. It's a side issue. Got to focus on the other issues. But when we get down to it, he always says, well, if you shut down the Federal Reserve, what are we going to replace it with? And what I always want to say is, I want to say, you know, it's cancer. I don't want to replace economic cancer with anything else. I want to remove the economic cancer from our society. And that's really what the current Federal Reserve driven monetary system is. It is just the foundation, and it is the root of so many other things. Your website has a lot of great information on it. The DVD and the video is great, but you've got a section in there that goes into, you know, all of these different departments that have been created in the federal government over the last century. And you kind of, you know, lay out some of these branches that everybody's always talking about. And you guys do a great job of showing how this really is all connected into this money issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they're only possible because of it. I mean, that's why it's like the root. Okay, if you got a whole big tree and you got all these branches going in all these different directions, the root system that keeps that tree alive is the Federal Reserve System.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no other way, because if you have right now we have unlimited money, so basically we have unlimited government. If you have limited money, strictly limited money, which is when you are saying, okay, we have this much gold, we can have this much money. Once you put that limitation on there, and you can't keep putting it off to another day and stealing people's money through inflation and all that, you can't have it all. So it forces you to make the choice. That, and once you make the choice, it's kind of like, well, then you ask yourself, well, why is the government even involved in energy policy? I mean, really? I mean, it's kind of like, can't we just let all the scientists and all the companies and all the people take their best shot at it? And it's kind of like you're going to go buy whatever you think works, predicated on what cost effectiveness, what socially you think works, what the future is. This and that. And
yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's kind of risky,
them
actually.
Picking winners and losers, all it does is screw up the system and causes a vast amount of waste. I mean, they subsidize corn ethanol, not because corn ethanol is the future, but because corn ethanol has a gigantic lobby. So what you have to do is you have to say, why are they subsidizing anything? You can't trust them to subsidize anything because they're horrible at it. So until someone starts to say, let's let the market decide, let's get it away from government, then, you know, we're not going to have any solutions. And I think that the easiest way to do that, rather than having people, you know, just go through and vote as it is now, is why don't we get our government back in its proper role, which would be done if we had real money, because it would shrink the entire thing down. Then what's left? Then let's pick what the most important things are.
Yeah, and of course, the politicians, the partners in this with the banks, they benefit because, you know, without the money creation mechanism that they get through the Federal Reserve Bank, they would have to increase taxes on people, which is unpopular. They'd get thrown out of office. So they get unlimited programs. They get to benefit all their buddies and the lobbyists. And they also get to stay in office because the people don't see that unseen little wealth stealer. Now, in the movie you chat about and we're coming up on the end of the program, and again, we want to thank you for coming on. Maybe we could chat a little bit about the Rothschild family, and I think that's one of the things. There's a lot of movies about the Federal Reserve, lots of books out there, lots of information now, especially after Ron Paul's big run kind of put it on the map, but a lot of people don't trace it as far back to the England influence and the Bank of England and the Rothschild family and the Rockefellers and all that. Maybe in the last couple minutes, you could just give us a brief chat about how the Rothschild, who is the Rothschild family, first of all?
Well, the you know, the Rothschilds basically were a family originally from Austria, and I believe it was Nathan's father who was a banker over there. And Nathan apprenticed as a banker, and he eventually went to England. And he had five brothers, I think it was. And while he was in England, he became vastly integrated into doing banking transactions for, you know, a lot of extraordinarily powerful people. And he got himself pretty well entrenched. Well, what he did with his five brothers is he realized, you know, information, especially in that era, was key. So what these guys did was is they basically created a courier and information service, an intelligence service, throughout Europe. So they controlled a lot of the information. Nathan then made himself basically the, you know, built himself what is would today be like what Goldman Sachs is of that era. They not only were financing, you know, okay, you want to go buy some machinery for your company. They realized, well, you know, back then government wanted to grow too.
Yeah.
You could go, I mean, loan the Prussians money to go fight a war. You could loan this king money to go build a building. You could go loan, you could get governments indebted to you. If you got governments indebted to you, then the people, because the governments could compel the people to pay them, you always were going to get paid, because
mm-hmm.
the government would go get your money from the people, whether they liked it or not. There was no voluntary, pay. Still isn't. You know, the only bill you got to pay is the IRS. That's for sure. So it's like, okay, well, why be in that business? You know, why be in the business of people being able to walk away when I can get governments who'll forcibly go make everybody mm-hmm. pay? So that's what he did, and he was extraordinarily successful at it, and, you know, he made a whole lot of money because having government, being in business with government was way better than being in businesses with private individuals. And by the way, that's what everybody realized. I mean, if you had a company and the government said, hey, you know, we'll make sure that the rules are bent in your favor, and if you lose money, we'll come in and bail you out. So you can socialize your loss, and then you can privatize your gain.
Yep.
Well, who's not taking that deal?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, of course they did it. And it's like, you know, Nathan Rothschild, basically, and one of the reasons we used him is because he really kind of became the first global international financial titan. And
mm-hmm.
and he was a rival with Thomas Jefferson, and he wrote letters to each other. They didn't like each other. You know, his whole philosophy, you know, Hamilton, you know, and Jefferson argued over, and it was like Hamilton was part of that establishment. So, I mean, it's just, it plays out really well, because it's like, this is where this comes from, and this is what you're fighting against. And
mm-hmm.
it's the collusion between profiteering and the constant desire of government to expand that is really, you can't use force to, you know, you can't use forced taxation to expand these people who have special interest, and that's where special interest. You can't do that and expect to have
mm-hmm.
a liberty-driven country.
Well,
so,
and
that's what
this
we're
stuff,
trying to tell people.
Yeah, and this goes back. I mean, this has been going on for centuries.
It's timeless.
And people need to go out there. They need to go watch the film. It's at theamericandreamfilm.com. Check out the story of the Rothschilds, how they've financed two sides of a war and found a way to profit from it.
Mm-hmm.
Find out about, you know, you've got the duel between Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr. You've got, you know, Andrew Jackson cutting the heads off of the Den of Vipers.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys got some great visuals and a
uh-huh.
huge history whirlwind here. So I want to encourage people to do that. Watch it. Share it on Facebook. Let's go ahead and build some social momentum around this
mm-hmm.
so we can see another project done here in the future. Tad, thanks for coming on the show today, and we look forward to seeing what you do in the future.
Yeah, thanks so much. And I just want to, you know, tell your listeners, I mean, basically we made this for everybody to have a tool, and we need all their support, views, donations, Facebook, because that's what's going to build the consensus for us to be able to do more.
Great.
Excellent. We want to help out, man. Take care, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, well, another exciting edition of Live Free Austin. Jason Rink and John Bush here, as always. Once again, check out the podcast of the previous episodes at livefreeaustinradio.com, livefreeaustinradio.com. And you can expect to hear us here at the same bat time, same bat place, 98.9 FM. This is Live Free Austin.